Are you glad to be in church this morning?
Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So good to be in the house of the Lord and be able to come and worship with you today. In a few minutes, it's already been mentioned, we'll be observing the Lord's Supper. I just want to say to you this morning, everything that I'm going to be saying is leading up to the observance of the Lord's Supper. This is the culmination. This is the highlight. And I don't want us to ever give the impression that the Lord's Supper is something that's tacked on to the end of a service. It has such great significance in the life of the Christian church. Today we do begin observing what is commonly called Holy Week. It's Palm Sunday. The Bible tells us that Jesus entered into Jerusalem for that final week, and those that were there began to lay out palm branches, as they would do for a king. A great welcome and celebration. Of course, we know that that coming Friday, that same crowd would be screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so there are events that happen each day during Holy Week. Today, I want us to go to Thursday. Very, very significant day in Holy Week. I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, Jesus had given his disciples an assignment to go to a particular place and prepare for the observance of Passover. And he said, go and you'll see a man there that's bearing a pitcher of water. I want you to tell him that you're there to prepare for the Passover, and he'll show you a large upper room that'll be furnished, and there make ready. And then begin reading in verse 13. It's Luke chapter 22, verse 13. For those that are willing and able, would you stand together for the reading of God's Word? And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and said, take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and he broke it, and gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Thank you, Father, for the power of your word. We thank you this morning for your Holy Spirit, that blessed Spirit, that takes your word and helps us to understand and applies it to our lives. And Father, I pray in these next moments together that we would be keenly in tune to the voice of your Spirit, that we would respond to your Spirit in faith and obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And so this morning, I want us to zoom in on Maundy Thursday. Thursday. There we find Jesus and the apostles in the upper room. And he institutes what we commonly call the Lord's Supper or communion. Before that, every year the people celebrated Passover. Jesus comes into Jerusalem for the celebration of Passover. And he and his disciples are in that upper room. Something very powerful happens. There are three factors that I want to point out to you this morning before we observe communion or the Lord's Supper. One, I want you to notice how the Lord's Supper connects us with the past. It has a way of connecting us with the past. We're living in a day when there are many people that disregard anything related to tradition. If there's anything that has tradition to it, they want to throw it aside. We don't want to have anything to do with tradition. I want to tell you this morning, traditions are healthy in our lives. I want to draw a distinction and maybe bring some clarification. There's a difference in tradition and traditionalism. Tradition says we do what we do because it's very meaningful for us. Traditionalism says we do what we do because we've always done it. This morning, we don't do what we do because we've always done it. We do it because it's still meaningful in our lives. It has a way of connecting us to the past. We think about this. Jesus, as he gathers with those disciples, he's there to observe Passover. That's a connection that they had with the past. 1,500 years before that, God used Moses as his people were in Egyptian bondage, and they had been in bondage for over 400 years. God raised up Moses, and God through Moses gave leadership and delivered, set God's people free from that bondage. God had said, I want you to observe Passover as a reminder. 1,500 years. And that tradition was celebrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper 50 years after that. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you see where the Apostle Paul was writing to a church that was having great difficulty. That there were a number of problems with the church at Corinth. And as Paul writes to these Christian people, he quotes the words of Jesus that we read this morning. And so there was a connection that Paul had with what Jesus did. He was connected to what Jesus did 50 years prior to that. And now here we are 2,000 years later. Few minutes, we'll observe the Lord's Supper, and we will connect with what Jesus did that very day, that very Thursday of Holy Week. We will connect with that. I had the privilege of serving you as interim pastor a few years ago, and I looked back yesterday to the bylaws of Hillaby Baptist Church. Where there were leaders of this church at some point had said, here's how we recommend to the church, and the church had voted how we will govern ourselves, how we will operate as a church. And part of that in the bylaws says that we have two ordinances. One of them is baptism, and the other is the Lord's Supper. And the section that talks about the Lord's Supper says that we will celebrate regularly the ordinance of the... Doesn't say annually, doesn't say semi-annual, doesn't say quarterly. It says we will regularly observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. This church voted. Why would they do such a thing? I'll tell you why. Because they felt it was deeply valuable and important for the life of this church. And so what we do this morning is we connect with them. Those that have gone on before us. That said we want to establish as a church that we will do this. So there's a connection to the past. But there's another reason that we observe the Lord's Supper. Another factor that's involved is unity. We call it the Lord's Supper. Many people call it communion. What is communion? When we commune together, that says that we are together. That says that we have something in common. There's a togetherness there. Communion says there is a oneness. One area of oneness is our oneness with God. As I look across this congregation this morning, there are all kinds of folks out there. All kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of interests, all kinds of concerns. But you know, the thing that brings us together is our communion with God. We gather around the Lord's table as one. And so it's our communion with God, but also we come together as one, as the family of God. See, think about communion. I think about community. And that's what we're doing. We are a community of faith. So this morning we express that. That's what Paul did in 1 Corinthians. He would say to those people, you may have all kinds of challenges in the church, but he says, one thing that you can rally around is the Lord's Supper, it's communion. We are one community of faith. But here's the question. What is your response this morning? What is your response to as we come to the table of our Lord? So your response today is a very personal response. It's not that we come in church this morning and we have a seat and we got a platform up here and we sit and we just observe. We just watch what goes on up there on the platform, and we get through, and when the last amen said, we make our way home. No, this morning, there's a response that's called for. How do you respond to the Lord's Supper? I've been preaching almost 50 years. That's a long time. But you know, there's one thing that I have realized and have realized for quite some time is I'm still learning. I just want y'all to know this morning, this preacher up here has not arrived. Now, that's not a surprise to you, is it? Y'all all right? And even as I prepared this message, There's something very powerful that God showed me in His Word. And that is how personal this communion experience is. Do you realize this morning as I read those verses? In 6 verses, Jesus said, for you, for yourselves. I want you to get the picture. I want you to use your imagination. And I want you to go back to that upper room with me. As Jesus takes that bread, and He said, "This is my body, and it's given for you." And He looks at Simon Peter. "Peter, it's for you." And He looks at John. "John, this is for you." "Andrew, Matthew, Larry, I want you to see yourself there. Frank, this is for you. Chris, this is for you. Gary, this is for you." There's a personal experience. Now, one time Jesus said, "Yourselves." I'm doing this for all of you. You see, it's very personal, and then it's very collective. And here's my question. How do you respond to that? When the Spirit of God says to you this morning, "For you, what do you say? What do you do? Could I just suggest 2 things? I believe that when you realize that this was for you, there ought to be deep thankfulness. "Thank you, Lord. Lord, I didn't deserve this. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord." Do you sense the need for that this morning? Do you sense the Spirit of God calling us to thankfulness? So let me ask you, when's the last time you said, "Thank you, Lord"? How long's it been since you said, "Thank you, Lord"? It was for me. "Thank you, Lord." And for some folks, that might look like right where you are. Did you just bow your head and say, thank you, Lord? For some, you may be prompted to come to this altar. You say, thank you, Lord. Some people are more emotional than others. We're not going to judge one another. But we need to express. And the second thing that I encourage you to do, not only thankfulness, but also humility. You know what else Jesus did in connection with this? He took a towel and a bowl of water, and he washed the disciples' feet. God in the flesh, the Son of God that was about to hang on a cross, humbled himself. Let me ask you this morning, do you sense a need for humility in your life? Are there areas of pride that need to be dealt with? Thankfulness and humility. Now, we spoke about how some of this was personal and some of it was cooperative. As I was preparing this and thinking about the invitation, I was thinking about it in a corporate way, in the body of Christ. Some of you this morning may sense the Spirit of God just prompting you, just that you would say thanks, and you may want to come to the altar. You may want to just slip over to somebody else that's very special to you and say, would you just join me in being thankful? Could we just express together our gratitude? At the same time, if there's a strained relationship, somebody in the church, things are not just right. This is the time, folks. This is the time that you would, in an humble way, say, could we pray about this and make sure we got this right? You see, the other people are not going to know if you're joining together with somebody to thank the Lord, or if you're trying to make something right with somebody. That's not what's important for you. After the invitation, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. And I want us to be able to do so with great thanksgiving and deep humility for you. It's for you. Would you stand together, please? And Miss Patrice is going to come and sing our invitation song this morning. It's a song that's been on my heart a couple of weeks, and I asked, and she's agreed to sing this. I want it to be a very reflective time for you. If God moves you to respond in a public way or whatever, you just obey the Spirit. You be obedient to the Spirit of God. You see, that was on Thursday. And on Friday, listen to this now. On Friday, they didn't take Jesus' life. He gave his life. His life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's Son would die, to save a wretch like me? Would you bow? Would you bow and just respond if you need to come to the altar or right where you are? Whatever the Spirit of God leads you to do, you be obedient to the voice of the Spirit of God.